Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 4th of January, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweil.
And you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. It is afternoon, actually. I have to get used to that now.
We're back live
on the air. It's very exciting for the best hour, the best technical hour in radio.
Is this supposed to happen?
No.
What'd you do?
Steve, put it back.
My cord is all wrapped up, and I can't get the mic right, and so, of course, it comes out of the hole.
All right, whatever works for you. Uh-huh. All right, as you know, let's start out with this week's poll. As you know, every week we do a poll. This week, it's based, as almost always, on a news item. Microsoft Corporation last week applied for a patent. It spells out a pay-as-you-go concept under which users would be charged for both the software they run and the computing horsepower they use. According to the patent application filed last week with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the metered pay-as-you-go computing experience scheme would meter software use and access to specific computer hardware. Fees would be charged against a prepaid or billed account. The current business model for computer hardware and software relies on a user purchasing a computer with hardware and software that is suited to the most demanding applications that the user expects to encounter, said Microsoft in the application. Therefore, a user may buy a multi-core processor with a significant amount of memory and advanced video support for gaming applications that are only used on the weekend, while the user's day-in, day-out activities may involve little more than word processing or web browsing. Microsoft's plan would instead monitor the machine to track things such as disk storage space, processor cores, and memory use, then bill the user for what was consumed during a set period. A different business model may allow a more granular approach to hardware and software sales, Microsoft argued. A computer may have individually metered hardware and software components that a user can select and activate based on a current need. When the need is browsing, a low level of performance may be used, and when network-based interactive gaming is the need of the moment, the highest available performance may be available to the user. Fees would be lower for lower performance chores, such as writing email or surfing the internet, and higher for higher performance tasks. Key to the concept is something Microsoft called a security module, embedded either in the hardware or provided as software that would meter the computer's usage. To make this model successful, the mechanism must be in place that supports a highly secure method of adjusting performance coupled with a secure, auditable measure and payment scheme to allow a variety of prepaid and postpaid mechanisms for capturing and settling highly granular, infinitely adjustable performance variations, the patent application said. Basically, folks, what this means is Microsoft is going to charge you to use your computer. I think this is a wonderful idea for Microsoft.
But and its shareholders.
You get to decide how you feel about it.
I want to find out is, what about the computer manufacturers? Are they going to sue Microsoft to get a piece of the money that Microsoft is charging to use the hardware?
Well, that's exactly right, isn't it?
And, or are they going to charge their own separate fee?
Right.
Not to mention Intel and AMD.
This is like the gas tax and the electric cars with the GPSs and everything else. So here's the poll of the week at our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. The question is, would you pay as you go for using Windows? The choices are, of course, Microsoft deserves it. Not on your tintype. Macintosh forever. This right here is why God made Linux. And I have no idea. So far, we have approximately 98. Maybe it's gone up to 100. I don't know because I'm having click trouble. 99 people have chosen. Right now, the top three choices are not on your tintype. This right here is why God made Linux and Macintosh forever. But I know you people, particularly on a subject like this, you do not want to simply click on a little button. So if you look underneath the poll, you will see a yellow box. In that box, there is a link. It says, give us your opinion. If you click on that, it will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Well done. Look at her.
She is right on her game. Even with the time off like we had, she's still right there.
She is the best I've had this year. And so far we have, she said it first.
That's true. We have bell of confirmation.
We have 10 people who have already given their opinions. And you may add your opinion. While you're there, take a look around at my website, AskNick.com, the forums, the newsletter. You can search all the old newsletters and search the forums, and it's just, I don't know, it's the best $15 a year you can possibly spend, even in these parlous economic times.
Really?
And then join us back at Soundbites, where we have the poll. But you know what? We're here to go to the phone, and our first caller is Frank from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Frank. You're the first caller of the year.
All right, that's great. Okay, guys, thanks. See what I can do here. I got this laptop, and I'm having a wireless issue with the laptop. Bring it back in. These guys, they're real good with everything, but every time I have a problem, but for some reason, they can't locate this problem. When I bring it home to my house and I turn it on with the wireless switch on the side of the laptop in the off position, I have no problems. Everything works. I just can't get the internet, of course. As soon as I flip that switch on, I go into safe mode, and I got to go through all that crap where I get the blue screen and all that. So this doesn't happen when they bring it to their place, which means they got a wireless, whatever. So is there something wrong with my wireless card? Is something wrong with my modem or my router?
Well, it can't be your wireless card, because if you're going somewhere else and the wireless card hooks up fine to wherever you are.
The card's going with you, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's probably your wireless router putting out.
Yeah, it's got to be
something
in the wireless router that's defunct.
Okay. So that's the thing I get from the cable company.
Right.
Well, not necessarily. Your cable router could be a separate box from your wireless router.
No,
does the cable router have an antenna on it itself, or do you have a separate wireless router box?
That's
the problem with renting the wireless router from them, is you have no control over it.
Right. What it sounds like is there's something not right with that, and so I think it's time to give them a call. And maybe just, I guess you can just bring it in. Call them first to make sure you can do this, but I believe you can just bring it in and
a number of folks already have done that. I've talked to a few of my clients, and they've literally had issues with this batch of wireless routers. And like everything else, they're trying to get them out there in the masses and get them cheap. Because, let's face it, it's not yours. You're paying rent. So if it drops or falls or something happens to it, you don't care because you can take it back in and
especially
for another one.
Especially if you've had it a while, they've been on forever. People forget about their routers and, you know, sitting under a desk somewhere. They're on all the time. They never get a rest. We find sometimes just turning it off, letting it rest overnight often fixes a lot of problems.
Yeah, right.
I've done that a few times. That don't work. So just probably swap it off and is the next thing to do, right?
Yeah, that's probably your best bet at this point. I'll give you about 90% that fixes the problem.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome, Frank. Thank you. All right, it's time, I think, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what I have here in this bag? If you folks are on the webcam, go to it. Because here in this bag is the official Rumballs.
Hooray!
And all I can say is, according to my wife, Friday night when she was sampling one just to see how they were progressing, she had some explicit words after she was eating them, and then all of a sudden they went down her throat and her stomach, which I can't repeat on the radio, but she goes, oh yeah, they're ripe. They're ready.
So, they're ripe and ready.
Folks,
a week early, too.
Yes.
The crazy schedule that we find out at the last minute.
Well, yeah, it is. Okay. Oh, whoa. This is dense. This is
just
dense.
Put your nose in the bag.
Just yipe. All right, I'll let this air out for a minute.
A lot of rum and not much ball there.
Wow.
Here goes.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Chris will be our guinea pig.
Chris is our guinea pig if he lives there. Of course, we don't recommend any imbibement of alcohol or anything else
No, don't open yours. There's plenty right here.
Plenty.
And
Alex
you can
is
wash it down with
one.
The chocolate cookies.
That's right, we have the chocolate cookies, too.
It's almost
Dave is a legendary baker.
Like a rum Tootsie Roll almost. Dense and chewy.
Well, believe it or not, they're made from vanilla wafers. You take vanilla wafers and just pulverize them. There you go.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up from Alex.
Wait, did anyone ask her if she was legal?
She is.
We presume.
Sure. So yeah, that's what we're doing here today. We are we're back live on the air. Clearly, nobody knows that yet.
The official Rumball show.
It is the official Rumball show. So feel free to give us a call if you're in the 585 area code. The number is 222-1180. The One Communications line is 800-295-1180. And for Verizon Wireless customers, it's a free call. It's *1180. So I don't know how you can not. I'm looking at this face Chris is making.
This is delightful.
Yeah, yeah. This is delightful. I haven't actually partaken of mine yet. I'm waiting. We'll see what happens there.
Just
but
don't
that's
light any flames.
Yeah. I'm going to set it down for a minute and possibly enjoy it during the coronavirus.
I don't think
break.
It'll eat through the desk.
My only hope is that there are no...
If it's still there, Nick, when you... Go on break.
I hope there are no police officers listening and waiting outside for us at Euclid Street when this is over.
And I just realized I could have had Steve bring me in this morning.
Yeah.
Boy, I blew that, didn't I?
Yes, you did. And you'll blow an 08 if you're not careful on the way home.
I had to go to the bank by your house, too, so I almost said, well, I've got to go there anyway. Might as well pick you up.
But I thought the rum balls were next week, so I didn't get the memo.
They will be. On point of death, they will be next week, too.
They will?
Hey, I'm sending you home with some.
Yeah, we'll have to bring back some of our own.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Lynn. Lynn, where are you calling from?
East Irondequoit.
How are things in East Irondequoit these days?
F Dave.
Right.
No.
Yeah. No.
Listen, I have got an HP PhotoSmart D7460 that I purchased a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple weeks ago, one of the black plastic clips that mm-hmm. are to the back of the rollers there.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's causing misfeeds. So yep. I have wrapped this baby all up, including two brand-new cartridges that were never used. With all this, can I donate that to somebody, Dave? Do you know, if it was fixed... And give it to somebody?
Believe it or not.
Chuck it.
Yeah.
Well, you have to recycle it. But, yeah, the printers have become disposable. They're not worth fixing.
Yeah.
And
that's why I bought this one last year.
Yeah. It's possible someone, you know, put it up on Craigslist, broken printer.
Yeah,
someone may want it that has a printer broken differently.
Or, Lynn, if you really want to get rid of it, you know, as you know, in our neighborhood,
right.
All you do is put it out to the curb.
I know.
And then you take bets with the family. On how long it's going to last. The wife and I have done that so much.
It's hysterical because my family from Utica just came. We had our Christmas this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and my daughter bought her recycled HP because they got a new laptop. So Ivan got her new one, her old one, I should say. So I boxed mine all up, and I taped it all together, and she says, you know, Mom, you're doing this really neat for somebody who's going to pick it up off the curb.
Yeah, you sound like my wife. She does the same thing. She'll even put, like if I do things, take things apart, she'll put all the screws and all that in the baggie, tape it to the item. It's like, Lorraine, you're going out to the garbage. It doesn't hit you. Oh, if you ever went by our house and the trash bag, you know, mm-hmm. the recycling bin,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it's organized by size.
Nice.
My wife puts it in, and she goes, well, it's easier for them to grab it. It's a recycling bin. You throw it in. The magazines and the newspapers.
And if you watch the guy do it, he picks the tub up and dumps everything together in one giant bin.
Don't tell that to my wife. She's got this.
Wait, your wife throws away old screws? Don't you keep the screws and the washers and the nuts and things?
Nick, I've got buckets.
And how did you get those buckets?
I dropped so many screws on the floor, it's a wonder I don't crunch when I walk.
Yeah.
I can never find them again.
But Lynn, Maverick, as we come for this break, I'm going to have a suggestion about printers and that. We got talking about this just a little while ago.
I'm just so glad the Buffalo Bills are done and I can listen to you guys again.
Thank you. Thank you. We are
Thank
too.
Thank you, Lynn.
And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, Lynn. Well, we're going to take a quick break for some of the short economic dramas that continue to keep Wham on the air. When we come back on the other side of that, we've got more news and lots of good stuff and more sound effects from Alex.
And
Rumble. We're back in a lot more rumbles. We're back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on what you all know by now is indeed the greatest computer show in the known universe. Say it with me, everybody, out there in Radio Land. It's Sound Bites, exclusively on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
And how long is it to the point of no return?
Exactly. Apple stock fell abruptly on Tuesday, but later recovered some ground after yet another online report said CEO Steve Jobs bowed out of next week's Macworld keynote address because of declining health. In a report it labeled rumor, the gadget blog Gizmodo quoted an unnamed source as saying Apple is choosing to remove the hype factor strategically by holding the keynote without Jobs, whose health is rapidly declining. Gizmodo said the source had been correct in the past, though only about Apple products and not about Jobs. Apple did not comment for the Gizmodo post or otherwise. They did, however, announce on December 16th that Phil Schiller, the senior vice president of worldwide product marketing, would deliver the keynote at Macworld on January 6th, which is Tuesday. For many years, since he returned to Apple in 1997, Jobs gave that speech and used it as a launch platform for important products, including the iPhone in 2007, the MacBook Air in 2008. Apple also said it would stop exhibiting at Macworld Expo after this year. The company said the trade shows had become a minor part of their marketing strategy. So we keep hearing that. Steve sent me something yesterday that got me to thinking.
Steve Jobs?
No, Steve Ray. Yeah, Steve, my buddy Steve. Steve Ray sent me something yesterday that got me to think. He had some email that's been circulating about all the wonderful things from Apple that weren't from Steve Jobs, and that makes me think the hype machine is starting up to say we're more than Steve Jobs.
It's about time.
Yeah, and that leads me also to think that there's something wrong with his health. Otherwise, why would they be bothering?
Well, it wasn't Apple that put out this thing.
Yeah, of course it wasn't.
Steve is going to retire anyway at some point.
Well, he's only making $1 a year, isn't he?
Yeah.
Keep the confidence up.
Yeah.
I would quit that job, too.
The last couple of presentations and events he's done, he has brought out more of the management team, which sort of makes you feel like some sort of retirement is imminent.
Right.
But
can afford it.
Yeah. From all the other reports, his health is fine and there's nothing wrong with him.
One thing I want to do is, before we go to one of our callers, though, is Lynn, on her thing about a printer. And the one thing, and we were talking about this in Second Life, too. Right now, believe it or not, Kodak has some really nice printers out there. And if you folks are thinking about getting another printer right now, I would highly advise taking a look at some of the new ESP. They've got the 3, the 5, the 7, and the 9. I think the 5, the 7, and 9 got pretty good reviews. But the thing of it is the ink for these printers is cheaper, better quality, and they'll print more prints than the current HP. So do a little homework if you're looking at another printer, because, I mean, you're talking about $9 for a black cartridge, and I think it's $20 for a color.
$15, I thought it was. $14.99.
Yeah. I mean, hello, compared to what is it? For HP, by the time you get the combo kits, you could be like $60. And the amount of ink that's in those, it's insulting.
Yeah, that's one of the big things with inkjet printers is you buy replacement ink and you've almost bought a whole new printer.
Yeah.
Especially,
yeah.
You know, these $50, $60, $100 printers, you buy the 4 ink tanks and you're pushing $100 again.
Right. Yeah.
And if you don't use them every day, they plug up and you got to use up a lot of ink just to unplug them.
And most of the time, most stores and printer companies have deals where you get a free printer when you buy a computer. So
right.
I think that's what Lynn said. She got this computer and got a free printer along with it. I know guys that never buy new ink because they keep getting new printers.
Right. It's actually cheaper. But the ink that usually comes with the printer is only half a cartridge usually.
Anyway. Yeah.
I will say that it's not just the delightful flavor of the Rumble. It's the afterglow.
There you go.
All right. Our next caller is Victor from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Nice to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Two questions. One, why is the show only an hour? And two, about 2 weeks ago, I had a problem with my internet connection. I kept losing it. All I did was uninstall Zone Alarm and put in, I ended up using the free PC Tools firewall, and I haven't had a problem since.
Because probably in Zone Alarm, you had said block the internet.
No,
it was set too high as a common problem with Zone Alarm.
I hit it on medium. I made sure.
Well, I can't tell you because there's nothing we can do to test it with it gone. But if you've got something in there, any sort of firewall, you're good. That's
what
really
was,
what
and
counts.
What was that Zone Alarm update that broke more things? and they fixed it with a later update.
Mm-hmm.
That was a few months ago.
Yeah, zone alarm works great for a lot of people, but sometimes it blocks something, and unless you know how to get in there and unblock it, maybe replacing it with something else. As long as you're running some sort of firewall, we're happy for you.
Well, I just went to the free PC tools, and that seems to work fine, and I haven't lost my connection since, so I'm pretty happy.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
As long as it works.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Our next caller, Ben from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ben. What's your question?
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I knew it'd be you, Ben.
Hey, is that Chris Wright? Does he still comb his hair with an electric toothbrush?
Well, now my beard, too.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. One of those stick-on beards. Hey, look, I don't know. I'm going crazy. Well, I've always been, you know, Chris and I used to work together 100 years ago. But I have a BlackBerry, okay?
Sure.
BlackBerry Curve. Oh, you need this. This is really cool. And I have, like, internet, but I can't get it to work because I have to go through a tutorial. And I have a Mac G4 laptop from the 17th century. Actually, it's 2003, I think. It's 5 years old. And I want to get off DSL. Or should I go back to dial-up with Tom Arduini's XP? Or, you know, I don't know what. I'd like to interface them and not go broke with, you know, trying to maintain a landline.
Well, you're asking a lot of questions, Ben.
Okay.
What do you want to interface?
I want to interface the BlackBerry Curve with my laptop. For example, can I run a cord between them and see the screen on the laptop and use the BlackBerry as the modem?
Oh, that's called tethering.
Okay.
Now, and I don't know if it uses a USB cable or Bluetooth. It depends on which software you get for it. But yes, you can do that, but then it uses your BlackBerry data plan, and depending on what carrier you're with, typical data plans only give you about 5 gigs a month, which isn't very much.
Like with AT&T, really, you have a limit, okay.
Well, you don't have a limit, you have a limit of high speed, which in the case of cell phones is about a meg and a half a second. So it's faster than dial-up, but significantly slower than DSL or cable. And when you exceed your 5 gigabytes, they slow you down, they don't cut you off.
I would check the fine print on my contract if I were you. You may not really know what you're paying for.
And sometimes you need to buy a tethering plan separately.
Yeah, that's like $60.
Well, there's a data plan to get internet on the phone, and then there's a separate...
That's $50 a month.
Right, then there's a separate tethering plan to get cellular internet on your computer through your phone.
Right. Maybe that's really the way to go. Or am I... I don't know.
Well, it's slower and more costly than traditional high-speed internet, but it's often more convenient because you're not tied to your house. You can use it on a laptop anywhere you go.
Now, what's that other service here in Rochester? You see the signs on the roadside.
Clearwire.
It's Clearwire.
Yeah.
And that may be an option for you, Ben.
Yeah, that's transmitted internet service.
Have you folks ever played with that, the Clearwire stuff?
I have.
I've used it once.
A friend of mine has it and uses it pretty regularly. It works very well.
One of the neat things about Clearwire is you can take that Clearwire router almost anywhere and get on the internet with it. You're not tied to your home.
And then your BlackBerry
isn't involved.
Check
their coverage map. Check their coverage map. When you get down into the southern tier and places like that, you lose it.
Well, you know, I pretty much want to do this thing local. I just want to get some kind of sanity of, you know, doing internet, email, sending photos.
Yeah, it can be done on the BlackBerry, but the tiny screen makes it hard.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot slower.
Okay, even if I connect my laptop wireless to the BlackBerry.
Yes, because your DSL is, say, 4 megabits, 6 megabits, 8 megabits. Your BlackBerry is 1 megabit.
Okay.
Which is a whole lot faster than the 50K of a modem.
Yes.
But significantly slower than DSL or cable.
Right.
Ben, do you know if you can get DSL where you are in Fairport?
Well, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, we have we actually got power now to the houses.
Congratulations.
Soon to have indoor plumbing.
Yeah, right.
You know, I thank you guys. Really, you know, you're so awesome about telling the truth and everything about stuff. I don't know. I'm just thrilled that, you know, you local folks, including that wonderful lady who handled the phone call.
Alex.
You know, you do such a good job. You know, it's so delightful on Sundays to...
And a lot of people have now, especially the younger crowd, have discontinued their landline telephone, and using a cell phone only.
Yeah,
kind of, you know, as an older guy, kind of disconcerting, but I think it's the way to go. You know, just drop it. And
the big concern is always when the power fails, because the telephone, what we call POTS, the plain old telephone system, is self-powered.
Right.
So even when your house power is out, your phone works.
Someday I'm going to call you. I have a 19.5 wall phone that's still compatible with the system. All I have to do is whack the microphone with the carbon granules.
There you go.
See, but Steve is right. If you lose power, the phone still works.
If it's a wired phone.
If it's a wired phone.
If you lose power significantly in the area, your cell phone stops working because the cell towers stop working.
And then when
they
your
have
cell
batteries.
Phone, when your cell phone battery dies, the cell phone's dead anyway.
You're right. When the batteries go, so if the battery lasts longer than the power outage, you win, but otherwise, no.
I have inverters and deep cycle batteries, but I'm also wondering about that because I thought all the cell sites would ever have backup generators on them. Is that?
They probably do, but the amount of power that they put out probably doesn't handle the entire load. In fact, even when the power is working, was that mess at Eastview Mall just before Christmas?
Right.
Swamped the cell system and the 911 center. People stuck in the parking lot.
Right.
Calling 911.
Because they were stuck in the parking lot. Now, I understand that the people who thought, rather than hit the Johns here, I'll wait till I get home. When they're stuck for 4 hours in a parking lot, that's a problem. But, everybody else, I don't know. Listen, Ben, thanks so much for calling. We got to move along to our next caller, who is Tom from Honey Eye Falls. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I just had to comment on the codec ESP printer they were talking about. All right, well, I bought one back in March of last year, and I have had nothing but trouble with it.
Which one did you get?
It was the ESP3. Okay. It's a scanner copier and just a scanner copier, I believe, and a printer, of course. And it worked for about 3 weeks, and then it would have a paper catcher. It would say that there was a paper jam, but there was no paper jam. It would just make this little noise every time I would try to print.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the number, and of course I talked to somebody in the Philippines, which was nice.
It's a free call to the Philippines. How do you go wrong?
Well, that's the English barrier, too. We'll get into that.
Yeah, 1-800, I don't speak English.
Oh, God. Anyway, they sent me a new print head, and they sent me 3 or 4 color and black cartridges, which was fine. The thing worked for about 8 weeks, and since then, it's just sitting there on my computer thing, and I just copy stuff onto a disk and take it into work and print it there. I don't know what to do, with the exception of unplugging it and just throwing it on the steps of downtown Kodak, which I thought about doing, actually, because it's the biggest piece of junk with a JUNQUE I've ever had. I've never had a printer.
Yeah, I've heard bad reports on the 3. That's why I was telling him to look at the 5, the 7, and the 9.
Which are the current products.
All right.
And the 3 is still available.
The 3 is the cheap one.
Yeah.
So that might tell you something.
It was only $99 or something like that. And I'm on a budget, and just like everybody
else. Oh, yeah.
One of the problems I've seen a lot, especially with the multifunction printers that try to do too much, and printers like the Kodak and HP does this too, where the paper feed, it goes in from the front, has to turn 180 degrees, and comes out the front.
Right.
A lot of times those rear rollers, making that hard corner, when you do get a paper jam, you end up with little scraps of paper stuck in the gears. And it's hard to see because it's not a full piece of paper.
Well, in defense...
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why I've always liked the Epson printers. The paper goes in the back, comes out the front.
Right.
Well, my sister, though, she happens to have the ESP5. That's why I was only recommending the 5, 7, or a 9. Because she's got a 5, and I happen to see it over the Christmas season when we were over at their house, and she's had it for over 6 months and just loves it. She was printing off some pictures for us, some old family photos. I mean, the quality was fantastic. She's had no problems. They're constantly doing pictures here and there, scanning stuff in. I mean, in fact, she put in a couple old family photos, which we only had one of, of my mom who has passed away, and some very young ones of her. So she scanned them in, printed off prints for us on those. So I guess, you got to do your homework, and you might have just gotten a lemon.
I think this is the way we solve this. Yeah. If anybody from Kodak is listening, send me a printer, a 9 or a 5 or a 7, preferably, and we'll test that.
What I'd like is just some decent quality, for crying out loud. I mean, with the economy, people can't afford to go out and spend the higher end.
No, I hear you.
I understand
if it still doesn't work, call it, get it repaired.
All right, gang, we got to take a break. I'm sorry. We got to take a break. Before we go, let me say that an off-air caller named Tom wants to know how long it takes to dance the security tango. The answer, of course, is it depends. Depends on how fast your machine is and how much stuff you have on the hard drive. Some people take an hour. Some people take a day. And that's not a joke. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We're back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the amazing Alex Vanderweel, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is, 40 minutes. after the hour. It is 40 minutes after. We've been on this for 40 minutes, and I've only had one rumble. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with, as you all know, the greatest computer show in the known universe. And that continues to be Soundbites, and it is only available right here on 1180 WHAM. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Alex Vanderwill.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, you know what that music means. Strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. Kiddies, get on your footy jammies. Grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. If we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave! Uncle Dave!
Oh, I'm all set.
Oh,
hey,
I bet you
are.
You
know, we've had, 3 months?
Yes.
So, hey, folks, if you've been living under a darn rock, come on out! Because you know what? There's been a scam going on, and it's just getting worse by the day. And what I'm talking about right now is the grand old antivirus 2009. So many folks are getting nailed by this and falling, you know, prey to this offer of $29.95 up to $79.95.
I'm having some of my Mac customers call us and say, they got this message, I have a virus, what should I do?
This has gotten so insidious that they even put now a version of it, will put a 800 number to call. This is how confident these idiots are because, well, they're charging you $79.95 for this particular one. And charging you $70, and they even splash an 800 screen on there. But when you call the 800 number, because your machine is still infected, all it does is say, have you do a couple things, which totally breaks the machine, and then you can't do anything, so you try calling the 800 number again after you've already done it once, and all you get is constant busy. Because what they do is they get that number once, and then click it over to, oh, now move this number to constant busy. So you'll never get anybody. So if you have to think about whether you should do this or click on even an email, don't. I can't stress it enough. I mean, so many folks, I had one poor lady over the holiday season, literally because of these scams, get soaked out of $13,000.
Yep. And look, if you're wondering if it's legitimate, go to the Security Tango website. If it's not listed there, don't download it.
Have you updated it yet for our new programs we recommend?
No, I've been meaning to do it all week.
We're in the midst
of course, I was off, so I had too much to do.
Well, we're in the midst of it, just so you folks know. There is, for all you listeners that haven't caught up, there is a brand new version of the Security Tango CD out there. We've updated it. We've made it fully menu-driven. We've added a lot of new programs onto it, and we're going to have these programs up on the website also. So just give us a little time. The website is, Nick is doing one kick-ass butt job of getting this up and looking great. The email program is already looking great. So just give us a little time. We're going to get it up and dated, and we're out there to help keep folks protected. Because there is so much scam. There's another one coming out right now. It's only been out for a week or two, and it's called the Spyware Tools Guide 2009 and 2008. And there's supposed to be these other tools to help protect you against spyware. And this one is even worse. And we're still getting around it as far as, you know, doing the due diligence of keeping your antivirus software updated. Right now, we're recommending Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware. If you've got, and a zone alarm for your firewall. But if you've got those programs on there, you're going to stay safe. And I'll explain more next week.
All right, that's it. Hold him down. We're going to give him a shot. That's it, kiddies. Grab
your hold up.
Put your empty cocoa mugs in the sink. Get out of your footy jammies. We're done for another week. Uncle Dave is in the rocking chair fast asleep, and we're back to the real world. Before we get back to the phones, however, let me just say one more thing. The doctor over on the chat room has reminded me that if you change your color scheme from blue to the silver or something else, then when you see a pop-up in the blue with the blue border, you know it's fake.
Good point.
So
that was your original idea, Nick.
It was, but that's okay. The doctor reminded me of that. I hadn't thought of it in forever. He is absolutely right. And we are back to the phones. We've got another couple of minutes. We ought to be able to take Ed. Ed, where are you calling from?
Webster.
Webster, how are things there?
Where life is worth living?
Yeah. Snowy and cold.
Yeah, it would be. What's up?
Well, We just installed Yahoo Mail, and we were very happy with it. And yesterday, a couple of days ago, my wife was using it, and they gave her a random character test, and that's where, I'm sure you know what that is.
Yep,
the CAPTCHA.
Well, we tried to match it, and we couldn't, and finally they said, without telling us, they said, we're going to not let you send. So we called the help, the help line, but we sent a note. Yeah. I tried again, and it just comes down to the fact that they'll send you so many characters, and if you can't match it, well, then they shut you off and you can't send.
Right.
What's that character test for?
That's to prove that you're a real human being and not a robot.
I see.
So that they don't get spammers. It's to keep out the spam robots.
Because robots can't read those goofy characters because of the way they're skewed. And
but the problem is, a lot of people can't read those characters either. Yeah.
One thing included. You can do is they almost always have something that says, if you can't read the CAPTCHA,
handicap.
Click here.
Or like a wheelchair.
Right.
And you'll get, well, sometimes you'll get a different CAPTCHA that you might be able to read better. Sometimes it will speak it to you.
Right.
Speak the letters to you.
No, I'll look for that. But there's always seems to be one character in there that's hard to read, or the yep. you know.
Then
the
yes,
often it will also. You'll see a button that says "Try a different CAPTCHA."
And what you want to do is, because I just had to do this for a client, on the right-hand side of where you're typing that in, you'll see like the universal sign for the wheelchair for handicap.
Yeah.
Click on that; it will speak it to you. So give that a shot and let us know how you make out.
Okay.
All right?
All righty.
I guarantee it, because I just had to do that for a client.
People who are blind can't read the CAPTCHA either.
Right.
And it's
right.
intentionally designed so your computer can't read it, because then the bad guy's computers could read it too.
Right.
Right. It's a fairly clever way to weed out the robots. It's been broken, but it's still a fairly clever way
to
weed
out. Well, like I said, I just had a client do it, and she tells me, you know, well, please fix this. I says, okay, what's your password? She goes, I think it's this. Can't you figure it out?
Yeah, right.
Huh?
Yeah, right. We aren't miracle workers to quite that degree.
My crystal ball was broken that week.
Right. We're going to take another break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Rake, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back. I'm just continue to be delighted to say this live on the greatest computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbite on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back,
everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And I'm getting out of here.
At 54 minutes after the hour, we're Sound Bites. Our next caller, Henry from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Henry. What's your question?
Thank you, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm calling about, I heard the earlier caller about the zone alarm problem.
Right.
Earlier in December, apparently zone alarm put out a brand new update.
Yep.
When I downloaded that, I had exactly the same problem.
Yep.
Yeah, there have been several times where zone alarm updates break something else in your computer.
Now, have they corrected that problem?
Yes, they have.
So if I go and get the latest update, it should work?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's been corrected a while ago.
Yeah,
the catch-22 is you can't get to the internet without disabling zone alarm in the first place.
Well, what I did is because I went out there for what I ended up doing was installing an earlier version of zone alarm. I always keep the back version.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, another one that I've been very pleased with is Komodo.
Yeah. Zone Alarm and most of the other firewalls have a temporarily disable button, too, that gets you back on the internet so you can download the update.
Well, and that's how I figured out the problem was I turned Zone Alarm off, and everything worked fine.
Right. Download the latest version. It should work fine.
Okay, so you're saying since the update in December, you think they've fixed that problem?
Yep. Yes, I know they have.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Until the next one.
Right. Our next caller is Rose from Webster. Welcome, Rose. What's your question?
Oh, hi, Nick. I have a Median computer. I've had it for about 5 years. I have a little problem with Outlook Express, and I go to click to delete the incoming, and it doesn't delete. I go to delete the sent, it doesn't delete. Sometimes the delete file to delete, that deletes. So I did bring it in to somebody, just brought it home. He cleaned it out, or said he did. He went to delete it, and, you know, it deleted. I brought it home, and nothing deletes.
If you wait until the next day, is it gone?
I haven't waited till the next day. I just, no, oh, to the next day. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Is
no,
stuff that you deleted
no.
yesterday gone today?
No.
Okay. There is a setting, and now I have to think about where it is, but there's a setting in Outlook Express, and you have to save that setting once you've set it, that says either delete old email or just mark it as read.
Or just go to Thunderbird, which is better than Outlook Express.
Or just go to Thunderbird, which is a better product, actually. We do recommend people get off of Outlook Express, but if you need to stay on Outlook Express for some reason, that's the thing to do. I can't remember where it is, but it's in the settings somewhere, and I just don't remember where because I don't use Outlook Express anymore.
I think it says something like delete immediately.
Right.
Otherwise, it doesn't delete it. It just marks it as being deleted, and the next time your script runs that says delete the marked deleted files, they do delete, but if you don't have a script that runs
right.
to delete the marked ones, that they never delete.
Right. So you want to find the delete immediately. That's where you need to be.
So it's in the settings somewhere.
I'm sorry. I wish I could lead you right to it, but I don't run it, and I don't have it in front of me because I'm running a Linux box.
Okay, well, I'll try looking for it. I'll call you next week if it doesn't work.
Thanks so much. I appreciate
Thank
that. Thank you, Rose.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's it.
The end of the first show of this year.
The end of the first show of this year. I want to thank all of you for your kind remarks about getting back on the air and everything else. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get.
And
I want
to thank everyone who called in. We do this on Second Life every Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. That's 6 o'clock South Time.
Yeah, exactly right. And we're there in the Sound Bites area. You can find out about that on the page. I want to thank everybody who was in the chat room for joining us tonight. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich. I especially want to thank Alex Vanderweel, who is just utterly magnificent. I'm Nick Francesco. You have been listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks for listening.